of knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Croak 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 585. Jason Lindgren is with me, and Fortune de Saint Germain is back for episode two of the Q&A. We have a lot of questions to get through. We are recording this on June 7. Yesterday on 6-6, June 6, we located the second sun and had nearly 0% chance of filming it due to cloud cover. And as I sit here speaking with you now, there are frequency patterns in a low cloud deck blocking me from trying to go out and film. But just to let everybody know, we spotted it again. And with that, welcome, Jason.
And a very warm good morning.
All right. Welcome back, Fortune.
This program is brought to you today, live and in Buddha vision, from the Golden Castle at the end of the world, where the rainbow begins. Listen, children, all is not lost, where help is on the way. Help is here right now.
All righty. Shall we jump right in? Or do you have anything to... Actually, we better jump right in. We've got a lot to get through.
Well, I do have some things to say to the audience, because as we give you homework out there, the students have given the teacher homework. And the first part was very intense, so I very much enjoyed the intense session last time, because the questions were very, very good and the answers were very intense.
Oh.
And as I'm going, yes, cut in, please, please.
I'm sorry. We interviewed Max and Alex's mother, and I asked the question that you wanted me to ask, but you had informed me that you already had a response.
Ah, yes. And I will get to that shortly. So, Young Crow, Rockin' Jason, and Ramblin' Rose, our benefactors today, and very soon in the world that's coming, everyone will have Buddha vision. So, as we go in, just to let the audience know, when I am working with you, I'm not only thinking on my own, but I'm listening to what the angels and the masters say, or have to say for you as they chime in. So just to let you know, when the answers come in parables, riddles, and koans, that's the way the angels work. And it's often accompanied on their part by laughter, especially the angels. So at times of desperation in my own life, like we all have, where we feel we've been abandoned, I shouted out to the universe, must I do everything on a wing and a prayer? And the angels laughed and they giggled and they said, is there any other way? So we start with the only transportation in the universe is a leap of faith. And now we go on to some things to explain to the dear listeners. And thank you for inviting me into your homes, as I have invited you into my classroom. So we're all back at Mars High together. Yes, some things for us to think about. Events are moving too fast in the world today. And unfortunately, it looks like not one war, but a few wars are coming in our direction. And since the world that is being run for us by the people at the top are psychopaths, we, like we said, we're going to have to do our best. Now, in a moment of truth, which is going to be hard for many people, as I said, the world is moving too fast, events are speeding up and moving too fast. Humanity, most of humanity is not able to handle the speed because it doesn't have the moral and spiritual foundation to handle such speed. From COVID and the lockdowns, very few, all too few, learned anything from those years. So most people just wanted to get back to their lives, meaning stuff and entertainment. So for all of us, realize that there is a rhythm of the day, and there's a rhythm of the moment. So as the world is speeding up, learn how to slow your lives down. Learn how to anchor yourself in the moment. And the best way to do that is joy and gratitude. And we're all going to need that with what's coming. So slow down and let the storm, you know, take its own way. Anchor yourself with joy and work with the infinite moment and the rhythm of the day that was created as a special day for every living soul on this planet, not just people, but all of life. This I say unto you, amen dico vobis, that's Latin for the same, that you are all alchemists. So we are all here to transmute chaos into oneness. That is part of our karma. So whether you are beginning alchemist, medium, or expert, or even there are some supreme alchemists who are avatars, that's the Christ Buddha vibration. Now, very, very shortly, we learn to ground our root.
All of you are going to have to learn how to ground your root chakras much better. So joy and gratitude, you breathe in the ruby red Holy Spirit through the root and the crown, meet it in your heart, and you send that energy back down to your root chakra, your feet. I am divine compassion, patience, and belonging. All is one, one is all. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. This is what it is and infinitely more. When you say that to the universe, you're saying that no matter how great the gift is in the moment, it's infinite, and you are allowing the universe to come in and work with you. Now, at the same time, if you really want to be a brave soul, as you are sending the energy down to your root, you can also, through your heart, send the same ruby red Holy Spirit out to Mother Earth and all living beings. Self-Shaktipat. You can do this for yourself daily. The color of that is red and orange. We've discussed this before. You don't need the guru to do it. What the guru does, the true guru, when he sees that you're ready for Shaktipat, he hits you with his palm at the back, your kundalini, because he knows you're ready. It gives you a bit of the universal energy through him as vessel and carrier, and he opens your kundalini. But you can do that daily on your own. So ruby red, you bring it up through the feet, and orange through the crown. You mix them in your heart with gold, and then you send it back down to your kundalini. I trade in my life for divine, alchemical, and infinite rebirth and life. I am the joyful, perpetual, and selfless service of whatever your name is. And if you want to be brave at the same time, you send out the same energy through your heart to Mother Earth and all of life. And you can do it for yourself, and then you can do a separate one where you just give it to Mother Earth. Okay, now, the law of one. For those of you who feel you've been hit by negative energy, especially living negative energy, which you call an entity, it's a thought form that's alive that was created by someone's negative energy. When you feel that you've been hit, you go, you create a circle, and you step inside the circle. It's a counterclockwise circle, and you put your hands to your heart and grasp them like a monk and say, I command you to come forth into the light and sound of God, obeying the law of one. The color for that is white gold, if you want to even go that far. For the twins, Alex and Max, both of you are very much alike, but each one of you has something the other does not have and the other needs. That's why you've both come here. Work in cooperation and joy with each other and learn from each other. You have a very kind and caring spiritual mother who's going to help you on the way. No fighting and no consternation. As for clairvoyance and astral travel, that is your third eye. So if you want to increase your own clairvoyance, which is done, of course, to help humanity. So 50% you and 50% for the world. Remember that. You breathe in indigo through, remember, everything is breathed in through root and crown and the heart, and you send it back up into your third eye chakra, your ajna. To open up your ajna chakra, your third eye, which will help with astral travel and clairvoyance. When the true guru sees you're ready, he will give you some of the universal energy to open it up for you and start you on your way. But you can do that on your own daily. So if you want to open up your ajna, you, as we say, everything must be breathed in through meeting in the heart, but breathe in through the crown and the root, meet in the heart. The color is indigo. And you say, I trade in my eyes for your eyes. I see as you see. I am divine wisdom and thought. All is this. This is all. This I am. Thy kingdom come. And then you breathe the energy up into your ajna. And if you want, at the same time, through your heart to bless Mother Earth and all life. Your vessel and your spirituality at the moment will determine what you see and how far you go with clairvoyance and the astral travel. And what you need to remember and see will be given to you by the universe. So don't try to force it. Let the gifts come as the universe gives them, which is my next warning. At this time, there is more ritual magic and darkness going on the planet than ever before. So the situation for all of us is more serious than any of you can ever imagine. Ritual magic is trying to manipulate energy to give an outcome. And since there's not much in that, because only the Supreme God can create something from nothing, the ritual magic is used to steal from other beings, usually the innocent and the weak and the meek, just as like blood drinking or sex. So you can steal another person's chi. The darkness has to steal the energy from the light, and it preys upon the weak and the meek and the innocent in this world. So do not volunteer. No ritual magic. Charity and prayer and allowing, when you ask for something selflessly, make it a spiritual thing you ask for. And as we said before, when you ask for yourself, ask for the same and much greater for Mother Earth and all of life. Do an act of charity and allow the Supreme God, whatever name you choose to give it, universe, divine love, divine Mother, Father, the Great Spirit, it has no name. Allow the Supreme God to bring you the gifts in the way it chooses, because that is the way that is best for your own evolution and flourishing here in this world. Now, that is called alchemy and divine manifestation. So allow things to come to you when you ask for them in God's way. And now we begin with the questions of the dear audience.
All right, everybody listening, we apologize for the quality. Fortune is way off grid. We're fortunate to have any connection at all. Go ahead, Jason.
Is there spiritual significance to the location where crystals, gems, and metals originate? Does Fortune know any specific information on Arkansas quartz crystals? Are the Atlantis-Lemuria connections true?
Okay. We tend to like to look. We don't have the time right now to investigate Atlantis, which lasted between 800,000 to a million years. It was destroyed by the Tuai crystal, as I've said before, which is still in the ocean somewhere near Bemini. They're looking for it, and that is what has created the anomalies and all of the disturbances to this day in the Bermuda Triangle area. It is time and space disturbances. They were wise guys. They did not know what they were dealing with. They thought they could control nature, which we all know we cannot. The same thing that's going on with CERN. Now, crystals are a beginning. They are going to help you. And of course, if you are in a positive energy vortex, and you're on an earth chakra, like Lake Titicaca, and which is a chakra, Jerusalem, the Pyramid of Giza, those are chakras. Or you could be someplace like Taos, New Mexico, Sedona, Mount Shasta, which are earth vortexes of positive energy. And you use the crystal, it will help you, but like we said, it will. Everything is what you think you need, or what you believe in. Your belief is much more powerful than you can ever know, because you're partners with the divine. Most people focus their thoughts and belief on negative things, and then they wonder why they're inundated by negative situations. Now, we must remember, and I'm sorry, I know many people like the complicated. They think esoteric is exotic and complicated. The truth is simple, my friends. All moments are holy, all places are holy, and all moments are perfect, and vice versa. So wherever you find yourself at that moment is where you need to be at that time and space and for the speed that your vessel is going. And if you need a little help with certain types of crystals that you feel give you a certain boost to some things, that's fine if that's what you need to do. So, you know, you need to do the research and see which crystals and things work best for yourself, and even some areas which work best for yourself. And now if you're in a negative area that's really not good, like Sodom and Gomorrah, of course you have to get out of there. But these are very simple things. Now, the further you go on the ladder spiritually, the more light and love you take in to your vessel, the less you will need the things of this earth, until you get to the point where the enlightened, like Krishna, who have achieved enlightenment, who is eternally young because he was eternally joyful and never grew old, or the avatars. You don't need much of this world anymore.
At the risk of pushing the time it's going to take us to get through, I want to ask you, I accept that crystals represent the most stationary form of life. Do you accept that? Do you agree with that?
Well, we're all here in the physical, so we all need, if you didn't need to be here and learn as a human soul, you know, as a soul in a human form, you wouldn't be here. So you're here by consent, you're here by volunteering, and you're here by need. And we are here to experience physicality as spirits. So there are things that we do need, and trees, certain types of crystals, certain types of minerals, of course. Yes, your answer is yes.
Chabad was founded in New York by Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi. What does Fortune know about the spiritual religious movement known as Chabad? Does he know about the connection of the current Chabad Rebbe M.M. Shiorson to Bibi from Israel? Does he have a connection to Napoleon? How much effect does this movement have on modern day history?
The original Hasidic movement was founded by the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name, a very eccentric mystical person who came from somewhere in the Ukrainian Carpathians. He was the real thing. Hasidic Judaism is Zen. It's based on the rapture of the moment and the rapture of all life. And you didn't need to go to synagogue because we're supposed to be praying everywhere and honoring life everywhere. The Baal Shem Tov, when he died, finished his mission here. I looked into this. He was a true teacher. He finished his mission. He is an ascended master. He is one of the teachers on this planet. And the Hasidic movement in its early days worshipped the student. The student, the Hasid, was higher than the Hasidic teacher, the Hasidic master, which they call the Rebbe. Over time, Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav, who was a descendant of him, the early days, it was a legitimate movement. Over the years, it became corrupt, where the Hasidic masters became more important than their disciples. The Hasidic master, or teacher, or Rebbe, is supposed to be like the Eastern guru, to teach you how to live on earth according to the principles of heaven so that you won't need him. These movements became where kings were set on thrones, and they became kings on thrones where they lorded over their people. The last Lubavitcher rabbi was not who he said he was, just as many of the spiritual teachers you see in the current world. The real Hasidic teacher of that generation was the Ribnitzer Rebbe, who was able to heal and see heaven and to look at your Akashic records and soul and see your spiritual level and what your lessons were. He had no followers. He saved a town of 5,000 Jews that were never touched. And then he wandered the Soviet Union as a lone teacher, giving out prayer books and slaughtering kosher food and circumcising children, the penalty for which was death in the Soviet Union, ritual circumcision. So this man was a one-man show. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He went to the mikveh at least 3 times a day. He spent all of his day in prayer and charity. And when he managed to come to Brooklyn, New York, the rabbi of Satmar founded a new movement of the ruins in Brooklyn. When he saw the Ribnitzer Rebbe, he saw the spirituality and light around him and knew he was dealing with something off the scale, like when Pope Pius saw Padre Pio. So the Satmar rabbi, who had his own community, always made sure to ask the Ribnitzer rabbi, who was not really a Rebbe, or he was a preacher, a wandering preacher and a miracle worker. So when he had his temple in Seagate, Brooklyn, people lined up at 5 a.m. to come see him, because when no other rabbi's prayers helped, he was the miracle worker they turned to. When Menachem Schneerson met the Ribnitzer Rebbe, he saw the spirituality only in Menachem Schneerson, not in the Rebbe.
How important is it, or is it important at all, to have spiritual practices that are in line with one's ancestral lineage? For example, if my ancestors were Druids and I'm practicing the Buddhist Dharma or vice versa, will that affect my karma or spiritual growth?
Well, let us remember that spiritual growth is infinite and there's no good and bad karma. It only means lessons, unfinished business. You learned joy or suffering. The choice is yours. Now, for the students, if you choose to pursue any path that you feel is right for yourself, that's the path that you feel is right and that you need, and you may eventually outgrow that. It all depends what feels right and resonates with your own soul. There are many Christians that left Christianity because of the punishment and judgment, and they turned to the East. The man you are listening to now will always be a Christian in heart because he grew up in the church, and I take the Christian rituals very seriously. But at the same time, like Joseph Campbell, I left to pursue the Buddhist and Eastern traditions because they were less judgmental and damning of other people's worship and the way other people behaved. And to kill somebody or hurt somebody in the name of God because they don't practice the way you do is very, very bad. We must all learn to honor each other and work with each other, because religion in heaven does not exist. Heaven is a celebration of all religions and none. We discussed this in the last one. Prayer and charity is the essence of every religion. So if you dance in a fire circle in the name of the fire worshippers and the divine spark of Zoroaster, and you achieve enlightenment that way, it's no different than coming back and achieving enlightenment through Jesus as your teacher or the Buddha. For the student who was seeking nirvana, he found the actual sign that told him how to achieve nirvana enlightenment. And it was 100 different arrows pointing in 100 different directions.
When producing a plant stone, questions arise that go beyond intuitive methods. These usually center around timing, like beginning on a Saturday, planetary day or hour, and the inclusiveness of each luminary in the process. While intuitive dialogue with the substance usually lends some insight, I still can become confused, which results with possibly acting in my time rather than its time. Can you please discuss this liminal space between the work and prayer and how to plan and approach the plant stone's production? If it makes any difference, I mostly work with mushrooms. My current setup is a small circular glass jar and a seedling heat mat. My house can be quiet, but I do not have a separate lab.
Anchor yourself in the moment and breathe in the ruby red Holy Spirit. You're making it too complicated, my friend. When we ask questions, sometimes the angels laugh, not because they're mocking us, because they're just laughing and saying it's all too simple. And they love working with us and sharing their light and knowledge like the masters do. Anchor yourself in the moment. Breathe in the ruby red Holy Spirit. And if you really want to bypass everything, just breathe in ruby red Holy Spirit through the root chakra, white through the crown, meet with gold in your heart, and then hit whatever you are trying to grow with this mantra. I bless you with the greatest blessings of all infinity. This is what it is and infinitely more. And that's all you really need. Because nobody's ever in the perfect place at the perfect time. Because all places are the perfect places in the perfect moment. I know that's a parable and it's a koan, it's a riddle, but that's just the way it is.
Fortune noted the path is difficult and lonely. That has definitely been my experience as I have lost, been freed from my husband and most other close relationships. My children are 15 years apart and have had very different life experiences. I am now in the countryside, focusing on R. Steiner homeschooling curriculum, drinking distilled water, and eating cleaner using vibrational medicines. But my children are still drawn towards the world of pop culture and consumerism. What does healthy spiritual parenting look like when you are alone?
Let's do it this way. Let's see. The path is only difficult for those who want for self. And as we see, sometimes or many times, as we're learning too fast. And our vessel, that is the speed of our vessel. So we have to leave behind the old. And like the Buddha left his wife and child to go and meditate because he knew he was on a mission there. Nothing is ultimately anything. No one is ultimately anything. We are all on a spiritual path, whether we know it or not, and whether we like it or not. So all forms of life are spiritual. Patience and love are the most important things for children. And we are all on a spiritual path, whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not. So the most important things are peace and patience, which basically mean love, as little electricity and bright lights in the house as you can manage, some candles. Keep your children away from the internet and the cell phone and try to engage them in different things. Have supper with your families in quiet that lasts 45, 50 minutes or longer, where you can talk to them about the day, what they did, where they were, give them some ideas of different things. We're being bombarded from every angle by all this garbage. Sometimes, and this is a hard one for parents, you have to let them go out and fall on their own and come back to you when they need the answers, if they need the answers. Because even though it's right for you to be on a spiritual path, when it's their time to awaken and open, will be their time whenever that is, if it is this lifetime. And you have to honor and allow that. Because even though it's right for you, it may not be right for them. And I'm sorry to say that some people choose their lessons. They choose to learn their lessons in suffering, and that's the way they needed it because that's the way they set it up for themselves.
Everybody listening, we're aware of the signal quality. We're struggling with it, and Jason will do the best he can to clean it up. We're having dropout problems, just so you know. Go ahead, Jason.
What are your thoughts on the life of Emperor Haile Selassie I? He was regarded as the messiah of the African race by many Rastas. Did he reach a special spiritual vibration?
He was not an avatar, and no, he was not a master. See, we tend to make out of certain people things that we want them to be. Any spiritual movement that is based on spiritual principles is a good movement. But no, Haile Selassie was not a world teacher or a messiah. Because as we've discussed in previous interviews, there is no messiah. Every man is the messiah. All messiah means is avatar status, the Christ. But Haile Selassie had a bad ending, and what happened to his people was not good. The Abyssinian people are a spiritual people, what they call Ethiopia now, and some of the Christian relics and other things are in their possessions, which they possess and hide from the world.
Isn't it thought that the so-called Ark of the Covenant is there, or something like that?
the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail. But you see, our good friends, this doesn't really matter where it is. You have to find your spiritual moment and infinity wherever you stand and present yourself at the time. Whatever these relics are, and they are relics, they do have some vibrations of the saint and or the saints that created and touched them. Just as the Holy Grail was a cup made of wood, because Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus had no use for gold. He was the gold that is golden spirituality, the Christ Buddha vibration. So there are some relics, like parts of the Kiddush cup from the Last Supper that he touched, that do have the Christ vibration. And yes, if people come in contact with that, they can and will be healed if they're open to it. But we don't need those things, and we can't, and they will not serve anyone who finds them that is not of the proper vibration. So those people who try to find such things as the Spear of Destiny, the Ark of the Covenant, the wine cup from the Last Supper, which was made of wood and heart still exists and it is in deterioration, that will only help those who are spiritual and who are open to it. It will not help those black magicians who are trying to steal.
I dabbled with Crowley in my youth, but soon came to my senses that the left-hand path wasn't for me. I'm hoping you may have some advice to start me back on my journey.
Well, you are already there if you realize it's not for you. And go to a nice little spiritual bookstore and just take a look, see what resonates with you among the things that they have there. You do have a good heart, and focus on the ruby red Holy Spirit, not only taking it in through your root chakra, but into your whole being. The ruby red Holy Spirit and the second chakra, which is orange, I trade in my life for divine, spiritual, and alchemical life. I trade in selfishness for charity and prayer. I am divine service, and that will help you more than anything else. And with every prayer we make, some acts of charity daily, they don't have to be great. And when you give them to the humblest people that need it the most, even if it's £1 or $1 or one drachma, that means more than anything else, because remember, and many of you do feel you're alone out there, and you shouldn't, the most fervent prayer is made by the poorest people in the most out-of-the-way place, in the most run-down church or synagogue or mosque, because a poor person needs God more than a rich man.
What role do the solar winds play in the awakening process?
They are whispers of the universe. They are divine whispers of the universe warming you and telling you to wake up and ride the winds of spirituality. Like a magic carpet flyer rides the wind, or some beings in the sea go where the sea or the rivers push them. It's telling you to enjoy the journey and ride the wind and enjoy the magic of the universe and go in that direction, because the road and the path was created for you.
Fortune, a long time ago, we had a conversation. I wonder if you want to comment on it. As those listening know, I've graduated away from the moon and I'm all about the sun now. A long time ago, Fortune and I were talking. I forget what Fortune asked me, but I told him that I viewed the sun as a lens. Do you remember that conversation, Fortune?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add in that regard?
Everything that we are here and experiencing, even if you know, and I tell you things that really happened and they were dark forces here, and only because humanity invited them in. So in one of the channelings or one of conversations, yes, there is a cosmic being known as Satan, and it's a dark entity, but only because he chose to be that. And man not only invited, the devil was created for man as a learning tool. humanity not only invited him in, they insisted on having him. But even though these things do exist, and even though there are many parts of this place are artificial and are created by beings from other areas that are not divine, just as we create parts of ourselves, falsehoods that are not divine, the smallest man with a human soul is always greater than the biggest problem. So many of the things that do exist in this world are not what you were told they are. And as we progress in the next few years, those who choose to progress, we're going to find out more and more about where we really are. I have told you that your human birthrights of the human soul are joy, love, and success. No matter where you are in the universe in third dimension, this is true. Your human soul is a diamond. It is a prism. It is infinite. Do not listen. The sun is not what you think it is. The moon is not what you think it is. And the earth is not what you think it is. It's much more than you know and can know. So rejoice and find out for yourselves. And don't listen to what the jackals tell you, because there are always more choices out there. They just don't tell you about them.
Is spiritual dowsing a positive spiritual practice, or is it like attempting divination and opening yourself to be used by nefarious energies? I would pursue it to heal myself and others, but I don't want to be fooled into going down a path that can only lead to harm.
If the intent is a good intent, you cannot be hurt. An intent made in a good intent. So water dowsing. There was a great water wizard out there who showed people how to find water anywhere they lived in the ground. What they call primal water, which is a gift from the earth. And that is fresh primal water. As Colonel Gaddafi was bringing up in the great, where he gave free water to his people forever. So anything that is done with a good intent, I mean, if you need the rod to do it, the dowsing rod, or you need the little dowsing pendulum to do it, if it's done with a good intent. But my friends, no ritual magic, no perceived or forced outcome. And I must stress that. So if you're pagans, that's great too. If you're pagans of the light, there were pagans who sacrificed, who had sex rituals. That's not of the alchemical divine process. That's trying to force an outcome. So make sure it's done with the divine good intent. And when you do it, to make sure you're locked into a good intent for the highest joy and good for all who are involved. And that will lock you into a good intent.
When one is seeking a teacher, guidance, or direction on this sometimes perilous path, where does one turn? Is all of this a projection of my own mind? How do I quell the fear which arises when that thought overwhelms me?
He who sees past fear is always safe. Fear is false evidence appearing real. When you are ready, the teacher will present himself, or you will meet that person, or you will find that person. We're going into a time now of a monastery of souls where we will no longer, where those who want to live in the fifth or the new world of peace will not need the traditional religions and teachers. So we'll be in a monastery of souls where everyone will be learning from the other. As a matter of fact, that is already happening. This is evidence of this program. So you can go and look on the net, which is the Great Library of Alexandria. Nothing is bad or good except how man uses it. So you can look on the internet, which is the Great Library of Alexandria. Do Master Choa's Twin Hearts Meditation, like I said, which was the best one I've ever seen, who was a teacher of mine. He's no longer here in that world, and he died too early as a young man in his early 50s. but you are in a monastery of souls. Spirituality is infinite and it's everywhere. And these seem to be generic and some platitudes, but they're really, really not. And don't torture yourself. You could read some books by Sri Dayamata, who was Yogananda's student. She died not long ago, and she finished her mission here on Earth. But simple. When they make it too complicated, they're not the real thing. You want to read from gurus and teachers who make it simple. All right, you don't want to go to Tibet, hand over all your possessions, and then chop wood and carry water for 7 years. And then some lackey of the Dalai Lama will talk to you, and you'll never meet the Dalai Lama himself. So you can do it where you are. You don't have to go to Tibet, and you don't have to go to Jerusalem.
What is the best way to activate our pineal gland?
I already gave that to you through the Ajna meditation. That's already been done at the beginning of this interview session.
Regarding episode 418 on the human double, Rudolf Steiner talks about the eighth sphere. I have put together what I feel is the ultimate goal of the dark forces, eternal soul entrapment. I think this is done through Aramaic influences via technology, coupled with the earlier Luciferic persuasions. If so, what can we do to balance these Aramaic, Luciferic influences and persuasions? What does Fortune think of Rudolf Steiner as a guide to attaining spiritual knowledge? Does Fortune corroborate Steiner's claims of the higher spiritual realms? Do you agree with these concepts put forth by Steiner and the goal of eternal soul entrapment?
Fortune, I think the beginning of that question might have to do with the dark satellite. I'm not sure that I think we've mentioned. Anyhow, go ahead.
Very, very simple. Your human soul, your soul belongs to God. There is no soul stealing in this world. They'd like you to believe that, but it's not. This is not a nightmare world. And just to let you know, and I thought about this for this program, we were locked down on a Friday here in England, and that Monday I woke up from a dream. And as I was waking up from my sleep, the voices said to me, this is a nightmare. The nightmare only exists because we allow it. The devil only has the power you give him. You invite in these things. They can't steal your soul because your soul belongs to God. And the mystery schools were really no mystery at all because they were more intellectual in their esoteric knowledge than they were living it from the heart. So what I saw was Rudolf Steiner was a kind man, but he was a tortured soul. And the real people who know the real information were like Count Saint Germain, who were out trying to change the world, trying to stop the French Revolution, where all people were, so many people were massacred, and it became a bloodbath, and then millions died in Europe through wars. So, as I said, when some of the exorcists go in, they hear the voice of the demon, or they can hear it in their minds, and it says, stay away, we have permission, we're here by permission, which the person has been possessed by the entity because he invited it in through sex, drugs, excessive drinking, or all three, lower vibration. The further up you go on the ladder, the more light and kindness, love you take into your heart, the more immune you become to the slings and arrows. No, you're not in soul entrapment. You're not living a nightmare. You're not here to be tortured. And for the mystery schools, they knew it more esoterically than they knew it in their hearts. Our lives are here to share and care, to give information to others that will help them on their way, even though we may never meet them again. It might be a few moments of ecstasy with another human soul where you feel like you bonded, and you have, and you want to see them again, and you never do. But you shared that moment, and you gave information. So these things about focusing on what he called Ahriman and the eighth sphere and other things, and Saturnic chronology, which you know as satanic numerology, there's no energy in it. The dark wizard is like the devil. He is a stealer, a liar. And the devil can do anything except get lost, because that's how he makes a living.
All right, Fortune, thank you so much for all that information in hour one. We're going to bring hour one of 585 to a close. We're going to take a short break, and we are going to do our darndest to get through the rest of the questions when we come back. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the 2-hour full episode. They also get access to all of the forums. They can create forums and threads, all of the comment sections, and all of the video I am now posting exclusively from my solar telescope and the search for the second sun, which has been located, but I do suspect that it is quite often buried behind the sun we see. You can also stream the 2-hour film called Shoot the Moon, covering all my past telescope work, anytime you want as a member. With that, we're going to take a short break, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. And I hope to see you logged in as a member for hour two. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.